like Jehovah. There's no God 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 like Jehovah. Holy, come, oh, riding on a cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's the air of jubilee, and out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. There's no God like Jehovah. He's our God. Hallelujah.
Just to be more like him. What else matters? Let jobs come and go. Let money come and go. Let sunny days come and go. But to be like Jesus, that's what matters, saints. All that you're going through, that's all it's for. It's to conform us into his image. Hallelujah.
At night I lay. I begin to cry.
Hallelujah.
Exactly.
You can't explain it, can you?
Praise God. Do you feel the pull? Amen. I so appreciate that. So appreciate that song. You know, it's exactly where my heart is going today. What I want to get into is some things in the supernatural and the spiritual. And so to be called out with that song is just a real blessing for me. Amen. I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's been a little while since it's been my lot to take the service, but I count it a privilege and an honor. I just want you all to know I love you very much, and I always appreciate every time I come out here and see your faces. You mean the world to me, and I can say that from the bottom of my heart. Let's just turn to a scripture real quick. Let's go to 1 John and look at chapter 4. I must confess to you that my favorite part of taking a service is studying. Amen. And I could study for 8 hours straight and love every minute of it. But then when it comes time to take the service, you always feel so inadequate. And it's, how can I take 8 hours of inspirational thoughts coming from God, 8 hours of studying the scriptures, 8 hours of studying the message, how can I take that and bring it to the people in an hour? And you just feel so inadequate, it's an impossibility. What I wish you could do is just sit with me and study. Amen. If we could just have a 10-hour study session together, and you could feel that inspiration as the word laces together, and you see the light bulbs going off, all the little things connecting. And so I'm not able to do that. I don't think that we could endure it. But I'll tell you, there's a secret to this. God has been pouring into the minister for however many hours, and I've been in prayer and been laying aside. But the key to getting all of that God's pulled in is you. Is pulling on that gift. Everything that God has poured into the ministry, whenever the minister comes up here, he's got however long it's taken him to prepare, however many days and weeks and months God's been dealing with him on the subject, and you have the ability to draw every bit of that out of him. You can't go through the same 10-hour study session. You can't go through the same hours of prayer and agony, the meditation as he drives down the road or as he's working. You can't be there when he does that, but you can benefit from the part that God has ordained for you if you can just pull on that. Amen. So I encourage you to do that today, because though it's impossible to give you everything I've read and seen in the last few days, with man all things are impossible, with God all things are possible. Amen. 1 John 4:1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Let's just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, asking, Lord, that you once again do what you've promised to do. You said where two or three are gathered in your name, that you'd be in the midst of them, Lord, and we know that you're here according to the promise of the word and also according to the witness in our hearts. And God, I ask now that you would do what only you can do, that you would take a sin-born vessel and use it for your glorification, that you could speak words of eternal life through a natural man's lips. Lord, I pray that you bypass my thoughts, you bypass my words, Lord, and you would anoint this vessel to preach the gospel message in power and in holiness. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You all can be seated. Now, I'd like to get into a subject that the Lord's been dealing with me on, a thought I've had for quite a while, but it's a subject that I know very little about, actually. And I think most of us know very little about this, but it's something that I very much want to know more about. And it's a realm in which I very much want to live more of my life and be aware of. And I want to talk this morning about spiritual awareness, just spiritual awareness. You know, see, we're trapped in a body of flesh, and it's ruled by these senses. It's ruled by this human spirit. And it's actually not reality. And it's so hard for us to wrap our mind around that, but what we see, feel, taste, hear, and smell is actually not the real. Brother Branham called it the negative of the picture. He said, this is the dream. One day we'll wake up in reality. Amen. So I don't want to live my whole life trapped and bound by these senses and never being awakened to what's going on in reality. I got a quote I would like to read. It's out of God's Covenant with Abraham. Believe it, no matter what takes place, believe it anyhow. You see, Christians don't look at what they see. Christians look at things they don't see. And the things you don't see are more real than the things that you see. Amen. You know, you go talking like this on the street and people think that you're lost in your mind, that you're a few screws short. But it's a reality to Christians. You see that microphone? It'll perish. I see faith that'll never perish. I see love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, gentleness, patience. Every shield of the believer is supernatural. Everything that belongs in the realm of Christianity is worked by supernatural. Amen. Do you believe that? Everything that you want to receive from God, it comes in the realms of Christianity. We have to work in the realms of the supernatural, the unseen, the untouched. Amen. It's a world that many of us have never lived in. We've never left this body and went into another realm where we experience this other world outside of the body. But I know that we can experience that world in this body. Amen. It's possible to be born again. It's possible to have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you. It's possible to feel the presence of God. It's possible, amen, to dwell in the supernatural while dwelling here on earth. You know, Jesus Christ was a great example of this to us. He came to this earth and he was 100% in the flesh. No doubt about it. He had to drink when he was thirsty. He had to eat when he was hungry. He had to sleep when he was tired. He was 100% natural. He was all natural, all real. We could touch him if we were alive at that time. We could see him. Amen. If he went several days without a bath, we could smell him. Amen. He lived in the natural. But at the same time, he lived in the supernatural. He had one foot in this world and one foot in the other world, and he was very aware all the time of what was happening in the supernatural realm. And what an example to us. And then he comes down and through his life, we see how that supernatural world is working all the time. And he's awakening something to us. If you look in the scriptures and you look through all the prophets and you're studying this, you see that every time you see this manifest, it awakens something inside of you. That there's more than what we see. There's more to this life than getting up at 6 and going to work and coming home and playing in the backyard with the children. There's a lot more going on all the time. There's a whole spirit world. And Brother Branham says in a quote, he said, you don't have to go some far off place to be in the heavenlies. He said, the heavenlies are all around you. You just have to tap into it. It's not some far off place. It's right here. So that spirit world is dwelling right here with us. He says it's just moving at a faster speed and we can't see it. But yet it is not in any way separated from this life. What is controlling what we see? What is controlling what we hear? What is controlling where we go is the supernatural. Amen. There's a quote here, Brother Bram says, the sin of unbelief, in the message, the sin of unbelief. And there's only two spirits that control a man. There's not five. There's not six. There's not seven. There's two spirits that control a man. That is either faith or unbelief. He breaks it down real simple. It's either faith or unbelief. Each of us tonight is possessed with one or the other of those spirits. Amen. As we go, we're going to talk about how we can identify this on down through here. But it's nevertheless true. There's only two spirits that are anointing you. There's only two spirits that are causing us to do what we do. And we think as we go through life, we're just making decisions in the natural. And they're pretty much inconsequential. They're just things that we decide to do. But we fail to realize that we can do nothing without an anointing. Brother Ram tells us this. That you must be anointed to do everything that we're doing. And so many times we do things and we don't realize till later the consequences of our actions. And we realize sometimes how many of you have gotten further down the road and realized that when I made that choice, that was the leading of a wrong spirit. Amen. When you're there making the choice, you're not, at many times, we're not aware that there are two spirits opposed to one another that are working on us. Brother Branham said the greatest battle ever fought was fought where? In the mind of man. And he said there was two opposing forces. And what were those two opposing forces? God and Satan. And those two opposing forces, he said every army picks a battleground where they're going to meet and where they're going to test their strength against one another. And these two great forces chose the mind of man as their battleground. As they come down, so we think that our mind is ours. That we have control of our mind and that these thoughts are our thoughts. But that's not true. Amen. Your thoughts are being anointed all the time. And what we're doing is we're processing these thoughts and determining what is faith and what is unbelief. What matches the scriptures and what does not match the scriptures. And then we make choices based off of that. Now, if we're not alert, if we're not aware, we're just getting bombarded with messages and we're reacting to the messages. And many times, all of us, every day, are acting out in unbelief. We're acting out contrary to the word, contrary to faith. We're not even aware of it. We don't even realize until later. You made that choice, you made that decision, you did that thing that you thought was just part of the routine day of life, and you come out and you see the end thereof and you realize that that was an evil spirit that was anointing me. And those thoughts might not always come that way. You might say, I made a bad choice or I made a wrong decision, but what was wrong about the decision is you chose between one of the wrong spirits. Amen. We've got to really be aware, really conscious of what's happening in our everyday life. If you're not, you're getting tripped up. You're thinking, oh, I made a mistake. Oh, I just slipped up. I won't do that again. But if you don't realize what was anointing the thought, what was anointing the thought that led to the decision that led to the mistake, and if you don't go back there and change your thinking process, you'll do it all over again. The next time you face these situations, and we get into all kinds of different situations as believers, but if we're not tuned into the supernatural, if we're not tuned in to what's going on in the supernatural realm, in the spirit world, We're going to repeat the same thing over and over and over again. Brother Branham said that that spirit is so subtle, it'll deceive the very elect if it's possible. I mean, it's not obvious. Satan does not come in your thinking and say, okay, this is Satan and I'm going to give you a thought. Let's see how you handle that. No, because every thought you hear, what voice are you hearing? Whether it's a thought to do good or a thought to do evil, in my mind, I don't know how it works in your mind, but in my mind, I hear my voice. Amen. It's just same, the thought sounds the same to me. Whether it's right or whether it's wrong, I'm used to hearing that voice in my conscience, in my inner man. So just by the thought coming, it's deceptive because they come using the same voice. I don't know which one it is. I'm not fully aware of what's speaking to me. There's only one way that you can determine what is going on, and only one way that you can make the right choice, and that's the word check. You check it with the word. Amen. And we'll get back to that here in a little bit and going down through there. But we realize, we all of us, if we've lived any time at all, we realize, especially if we've served the Lord, how supernatural our lives are. How much the spiritual is affecting our lives. And I know we've all experienced things, for instance, I just want to bring this home and we realize how much a part of us this is. How many of you have been standing somewhere and you felt like someone was looking at you? And then you turn and somebody's looking at you. Has that ever happened to anybody? Now, is that taking place in the natural or the supernatural? That's taking place in the spirit world. That's a spirit interaction. Someone is looking at you intently, and what's happening is their spirit is touching your spirit. And something in you felt. How did you feel? You know, we feel by skin. By contact with skin is how we feel. But that's not a natural feeling that you just felt. That wasn't a terra firma feeling. You felt something in your inner man. You felt something in the spirit, and you turn and look, and sure enough, somebody's looking at you. Right, this affects us all day long. At the workplace, at home, you know, there's many times that you go and you go to talk to somebody and something tells you something's wrong. But it's not the words that they're saying. The words are fine. The words are, hi, how are you today? I am fine. And what did you do this weekend? I did this. But there's a troubling in the spirit and you realize that there's something going on here more than what this person's telling me. And if you'll just ask the question, hey, how are you doing? Is everything all right? Then you find out exactly what it was you were feeling. But how are you feeling it? See, it's in the supernatural. It's in the spiritual. It's all around us. It's a part of our everyday life. So many times, and I know I'm not the only one because we're all living this same life together, but someone's name will pop in my head. The other day it was John. John. I thought, John. Ring. Phone rings. I look at it, it's John. How does that happen? How many times it's happened dozens of times where I call my wife or she calls me and I'll think the caller, I just think, call Angie, just for no reason, just call. And I pick up the phone to hit it. This has happened to us several times in last year. and I turn on my phone to dial the number, and I'm punching numbers, and she's yelling at me because she's already called me. I hear a voice coming through, and she's hearing deet, 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 deet on her end, and I'm trying to call her, and the same thing on the reverse has happened. What's happening there? Our spirits are very connected because we're husband and wife, and they're laced together. And I'm having a thought to call her, and at the same time, how far away she is, she's having a thought to call me. What's happening? That's the supernatural. That's the spiritual world at work. And that spiritual world is out there, and it's either harming us or helping us, and it depends on what we're seeing and how aware we are of the supernatural. And so what I want us to see today is that you can get great blessing and benefit from being aware of the supernatural and the spiritual in your life, or you can come to great harm, and there's a lot of danger in not being aware of what's happening spiritually and supernaturally in your life. Amen. It all depends on what spirit we let use us. Jesus said in the scriptures, he was in Matthew 13, 16, he said, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." What eyes and ears were he talking about? Amen? I doubt that there was a large majority of them that were blind or deaf at the time. He's not saying, "Blessed are your natural eyes, for they see in the natural world, and blessed are your natural ears, for they hear in the natural world." The majority of them could hear and see, but he was talking to a select few who could see and hear the supernatural, the spiritual. It was so much different than what we're used to. Jesus come and he changed the way, at least when I read through it, to change the way I think about the spirit world, because he was right there interacting with it all the time. You know, and Brother Branham comes down and does the exact same thing. He comes and he's interacting with this supernatural world all the time, and he's making it so real. Because it is so real. It is the reality. It is more real than what we're accustomed to. That's why we must be aware of it, or else it'll harm us. If we're aware of it, it could help us. I just want to talk about some of the spiritual benefits that you have from being aware of what's going on, and if you're perceptive, how you can find what God is doing with you. Amen. You know, this is something I said I don't know very much about, and I don't, because I'm trapped in a body of flesh. We're very limited in our experiences that we have in that other world, and none of us know very much about it, but oh, I want to know a whole lot more. I want to know so much more, and I want to live beyond what these senses tell me. I want to live beyond memory, reasoning, consciousness, and affection. I want to live in that supernatural. Especially as we see these days that we're in, and everything is chaos all around us. We're losing jobs. We're losing family. We're losing territory. We're losing battles. We're losing everything in the natural. Our currency is going down. Our inflation is going up. Our jobs are getting shipped overseas. Nothing's going right in the natural. But I don't care if I'm aware of the spiritual, supernatural. What is God doing in this age? If I can tap into what God's doing and what's happening in the natural, it doesn't bother me anymore. Because I know God's in control and he's working everything out for his glory. And I'm not troubled anymore by what I see, because it's not my natural eyes that are dictating how I feel anymore. It's my spiritual eyes. Amen. It's not what man is saying on the news report that is troubling me or causing me to be happy or causing me to be sad. It's what I see in the scripture and the manifestation of the word made real in my life. That's the thing that's more real to me now than what I see. That's the place that I'm going to. That's what I want. You know, everything we see is going to one day fade away. All this that's in the natural world that we hold so dear and so important and spend so much time with is going to fade off the scene. And it's that which is in the other world is going to become all the reality there is at that point. And I want to be aware of it now. I don't want to be shocked when I get there and say, "Hey, what was all this? I didn't know this was here." I don't want to be surprised when I get there. All right. Amen. I want to step over into the other realm, and I want to have that welcome spirit of, "I'm home now." Amen. I always knew this was real. I always knew I had a home. I always knew I belonged in this world. And now that I'm here, it's just like a hand in a glove. Amen. I don't want it to feel odd or strange to be out of this body. Amen. I want to begin feeling strange in this body. Amen. As we get nearer and nearer to Christ, I want to feel odd in this natural world. And I can tell you, I'm feeling odder every day. I'm becoming more bizarre to everyone around me every day, because this world is falling away so fast. It's falling so fast that even if you don't progress with Christ, if you just stay still, there's going to be a huge gap between you and the rest of the world. But if you near Christ, as the world is falling away, the gap is getting larger and larger and larger. Amen. And I'm not interested in this world. I'm interested in that. Amen. All right. I want to look at another quote here. And we would see Jesus. He said, if any spirit doesn't follow the scripture, it's a wrong spirit. You say, how can I discern between right or wrong? You say these thoughts are coming, and there's only two sources, two anointings for these thoughts. It's either Satan or it's God. It's either coming from the realms of heaven or the realms of hell. How am I to determine what's right or wrong? And Brother Brennan breaks it down real easy, and it's not always simple. A lot of times it takes a lot of prayer to discern what's going on because the spirit is so subtle. But he's saying, if any spirit doesn't follow the scripture, it's a wrong spirit. And you know, many times that makes the decision process very, very simple. It's a wrong spirit. Anytime that what is being processed through my mind doesn't match the scripture as it's revealed to us, then it's wrong spirit. That's an evil spirit. And that has to do with every area of our life, everything that we'd want to look at. I want to read another quote right while we're on it real quick. He said, taking sides with Jesus, then if you find out, look like something's moving up, oh, it's just going, and you find out it gets a little bit off the word. So there's a move of God, there's something sweeping through the church, and he says, then you find out it gets just a little bit off the word. Then be careful. No matter how good it looks, stop right there. A wrong spirit struck you because the message of this day is to the word. Amen. He said, Brother Ram was talking about how easy it is to take on a wrong spirit. Amen. He said, you can so easily pick up a wrong spirit and not even know it. He goes, because what is being projected to you is so subtle that it looks right. And he preached a message called Wisdom versus Faith. And I'm not able to go through all the quotes here. You're just going to have to trust me on this because I've got 11 pages of just quotes, no notes. And there's no way we can read them all, but in Wisdom versus Faith, he says that God operates by faith, by believing, and that's the realms of God. He said, but Satan, when he wants to work with man, he uses wisdom. He says a wisdom that is contrary to the scriptures. But he said, yet it's so enticing to the natural mind of man because his wisdom seems so right. Let's take one for example. Let's say, I don't believe I should spank my child. I just don't think that's right. Why would it be right for me to inflict any kind of pain on my child when I'm supposed to take care of them or love them? Well, I can tell you right now that's an evil spirit. But it seems so right. And see, this is the way Satan works. He gets in through these psychologists and the common thought of the day and through all these teachers and these people who've never had children and all this other stuff, and he begins to start preaching this message. And when you start preaching this message, it sounds right to the natural ear. You know, when somebody really starts hammering on why, and when if you've ever heard anybody really defend this, you shouldn't strike a child, they make us sound like we're really brutal beasts. I mean, very wicked. And actually, what they're saying sounds more right than what we're saying, because what we're saying is you take a little rod and you whack them and it's okay. We sound ignorant, foolish, uneducated, right? Using the natural mind, we sound like we're ignorant barbarians living in the Stone Ages, and this new process is with all the intellect and the education has a better way that'll work out better if you'll use it. Look, we've been spanking children forever, for thousands of years, and we've always had people get in trouble, there's always been murder, there's always been stealing, it's not working, let's try this new plan that man has conjured up, but I'm telling you, it's an evil, wicked, antichrist spirit. And so that's how easy this is to get deceived and get off track. You can have a family member, an aunt or an uncle or somebody saying, you shouldn't do that to your children if you just explain to them to understand and all these other things. And you begin to feel in your human spirit that maybe they're right and they're wrong. And right there, an evil spirit is anointing you. And you're clueless. No idea that that's a battle between Satan and God. You know, God is gentle. He's the Holy Spirit is the dove. Christ is the lamb. Look at these natures. They don't hammer stuff into you. They're not hammering on you and hammering on you and hammering on you. God is not pushing at you constantly. He's just gently tugging at your heart. He's quietly speaking to you. But what is the wisdom of the age doing? Hammering, hammering, hammering. You're wrong. You're wrong. This is right. This is wrong. And they're constantly hammering on you. And sometimes in order to make the wrong decision, all you have to do is just get quiet for a minute. Just get quiet for a minute. Get away from the hammering and try to listen to the cooing of the dove. Because he's not shouting. He's not shouting. And that's why when we live such a fast life, it's so easy to get off track. And this life is fast. The age we live in, it is ridiculous the speed that we operate in. In fact, it disgusts me the pace that I have to keep in just to keep alive in this world. I mean, if I want to do what my heart desires and just stay off to the side and meditate alone and study and spend time with my family and go on trips, I'll be broke. I'll have no home. I'll have to live with somebody else in order to fulfill my dream and my desire. The world is structured in such a way, Brother Jeff's talked about Satan's treadmill for years and years. It's structured in such a way that you move at such a pace of life that you can hardly hear the dove. Amen? And then this message of Satan, this wisdom, this evil spirit, these evil spirits are constantly bombarding you with these strong, hard messages. And it sounds so right. So there we take the instance where it would be very easy for a believer trying to do the right thing, trying to do good, and they say, I'm not going to chastise my child anymore. I'm not going to use the rod of correction. Right there, they've taken an evil spirit, and I promise it will yield wrong results. So what is it that motivates us? The Word. The Word. We don't have to understand it always. We don't have to be able to explain it. When somebody's bombarding us, when you've got these war of these different ideas coming, you can just simply say, the Scripture says. Will people think you're ignorant? Absolutely. Will you feel somehow that they're not buying it or they're still thinking? Absolutely. You'll still feel in your spirit what their spirit is projecting to you, but it doesn't matter. This is the Word. We're going to do what the Word says, and we're going to get the results that the Word promises. Amen. If you follow the Word according to the Word, now this is a little deviation here, because you can follow the Word according to your desire, and you're not going to get the promises of the Bible fulfilled in your life. That's another easy mistake. Brother Branham said if he doesn't get you off on the right side of the road, he'll get you off on the left. He said if he can't get you to ignore him, he'll get you off into fanaticism. So you can follow the Scripture according to your desire, and you can wind up with a terrible result. But if you follow the Scriptures according to the revealed Word of God, the revelation of this day, by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, and you rightly place the Word where it belongs, you will always get the result. Maybe not in the time frame you thought it would come in, but you can rest assured that it's going to work. It will always work. The same thing's true for healing. Amen? Let's look at the spirit world when it comes to healing. Something comes upon us, and Jesus called it a demon. When he went healing the sick, what was he doing? He was casting out demons. Thou demon of the deaf and the mute, come out of the man. The demon of epilepsy he had to deal with. The demon of paralysis. Jesus was casting out demons, and he called them unclean spirits. So Brother Renner picks up on that same thing, and he begins to start teaching about healing. And he's not talking about the natural world. He said the symptoms are lying vanities. Boy, that's hard to imagine. Living in this natural world, if you're not aware of the spiritual world, most of the things that Jesus was doing and a lot of things we read in Scripture are ignorant. Totally ignorant. We don't understand them. They don't make any sense to us, and they won't work. And that's what happens when it comes to healing. You acquire healing by faith in God's Word, and you apply the Word the way the Word is written, and you will get the results that's promised. But the problem comes, there's a subtle spirit of wisdom that comes, and that comes from Satan, and he begins to work on you. He begins to bombard you, begins to press against you with all these messages. So the message comes, oh, I'm so sick. Something's bad wrong. Okay, that thought's coming. And the reality is, in the natural world, that you're so sick, something must be wrong. But the promise in the Scripture is, no matter what's come, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. that by his stripes I am already healed. You know, how many times have you been sick, 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 and you just keep confessing the word and confessing the word and confessing the word and confessing the word, and it works. It'll work. It may not work instantly, but it will work. Sometimes it does work instantly. But the whole time there's a battle waging in the mind. And I've been in this spot before where I've been very, very sick. And all the symptoms are real. All the symptoms are felt. All the symptoms are there. And I keep saying, by his stripes I'm healed. Then I'll be sick again and I say, thank you, Lord, for healing me. Lord, no matter what you do in the situation, no matter how you bring about healing, I still serve you and I love you anyways. Amen. That's so good for Satan to hear. That's so good for you to hear. Amen. There's something about believing something, but there's something totally different. There's a different advantage you have. There's a whole different dimension when you speak it. You can believe something, but until you speak it, sometimes it hasn't really settled into your soul. How many times am I talking to somebody or witnessing with somebody or sharing an experience I had, and when I speak it, something in me says yes. Amen. Because I'm working in the supernatural now. I'm speaking something in the natural, but it comes from the supernatural, and there's a reaction in me, and I've just settled that truth right down in my heart, and nobody's going to take it away from me. Amen. So you come to healing and these symptoms come, but if Satan through wisdom can get you to confess what the doctor's saying or what you're feeling, you're not going to get healing. You know, there's many times that you come and we're so instructed in these things. We should know them, but faith and wisdom are at odds. Amen. And faith doesn't register with this natural world that we live in. Wisdom does. And so it's so hard, even though we're so instructed in these things, it's so hard to keep making the choice to reject wisdom and go with faith. Reject wisdom and go with faith. And it takes a lot of work and it takes a lot of effort to reject what the whole world is doing and choose something totally contrary, and that's operate by faith. So you get into healing, you're confessing your healing, you're confessing your healing. And Brother Branham said many times people would come through the line, they'd have a cancer or they have something wrong, and you'd pray for them, and he said a few days later they would get deathly ill. He said, because that spirit world operates in the natural. And we're going to look at that here in a minute. The spirit world operates in the natural world. For instance, when Satan wanted to disrupt plans God in the Garden of Eden, why didn't Satan come down and disrupt God's plan? Because in order for the spirit world to take effect in the natural, it has to have a medium. It has to have something in this natural world in which it can reach out through the rest of nature. So in order for him to touch Adam and Eve, who were placed in nature, he had to come down in a natural being, and that was in the serpent. The serpent was possessed of the devil, and then he could get in and disrupt the plan of God. Amen. So when a devil wants to vex you sometimes, it'll get in a life form, a growth, a life, a sickness, a germ, a cancer in your body. But the thing that's anointing that, the thing that's giving that life power is a demon spirit. So he said you pray for them and you cast out the demon spirit. And he said that's scriptural. So then a few days later, once that spirit leaves, whatever cells were disrupted by that life form begin to die. And as they begin to die, your body begins trying to expel or reject that dead life form. He said you get very, very sick. He said that's a sure sign that you got your healing. Now faith can see that. Faith can say no matter what, I am healed. No matter what method God uses, no matter how long it takes, no matter what, I'm healed. If I get sicker, I'm healed. If I get better, I'm healed. If I get new symptoms, I'm healed. Faith can hold on to that, but wisdom cannot hold on to that. There's nothing there for wisdom to hold on to. So wisdom comes back in when you start to get sicker and says, you didn't get your healing. You just got a reprieve. You never were really healed. You're really still sick. You better go back to the doctor. Amen. And when you're sick, 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 that voice sounds like the right voice. It sounds correct. It sounds like the right thing to do. But many times, that's the opposite of what you should do. Not that you shouldn't go back to the doctor. I'm not saying that. Doctors are a wonderful thing, and they're a gift many times from God to man. Brother Branham said penicillin was a gift from God to man. So I'm not saying reject the doctors. I'm saying I would reject most of what the doctors tell you. They're basically there to just label demons. They can tell you what the name of that demon is and how that demon acts when it's in a body and all that. They can give you a lot of good information so that you have more information to fight that demon with. But still, that doctor is going to present a whole lot of wisdom, and you need faith to make it through the doctor's office. I can tell you that. Once you get on their merry-go-round, you don't often get off. One drug leads to another drug, and the side effects require another drug, and then that drug offsets the first drug, and then you're in a mess because of wisdom. So that's why Brother Branham said there was a doctor there one time in the Christian businessman meeting, and he said he was a Holy Ghost-filled believer. He said, if anything happens to me, you take me to that doctor. Amen. And if you can find one of them, you found a good thing. Amen. So a lot of times that message will come when you get sicker in 3 days, 2 to 3, 4 days, you get sicker, bad sick, and you never did get your healing. If you accept that thought, and especially if you confess it, if you say, I'm sick again, or it's come back, or I still have, that spirit comes right back. Right back, and many times worse than before. Amen. Jesus said, I want to find this scripture. Jesus said in Matthew, he said, when a spirit leaves a man, it walketh in dry places, seeking, and when it finds no rest. What's rest? What's rest for a spirit when it has a way to interact with this world again? See, if you watch the scriptures closely and you listen to the message, he's explaining to you how the spirit realm works. Like I said, I'm not an expert. I don't know very much about it. I just know what I read. So when a spirit leaves a man, when an unclean spirit leaves a man, it walketh in dry places. And that's telling us that spirit does not want to be outside a vessel. Remember when Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee, and the madman come out of the tombs after him? And the madman was possessed of many devils, and he called out, Now Jesus, Son of God, what hast thou to do with us? And they perceived that he was going to cast them out, and they said, don't cast us into another nation. And in Luke it says, don't cast us into the deep. Send us into that swine over there. Why? Because in the swine, they could still interact in this world. But when they got to the deep, there was no rest for them there. They walk in dry places. See, the spirit world, the demon world, wants to work through the natural to disrupt God's plan. It needs a medium. It needs a host. It needs a vessel. Many times we're anointed by the wrong spirit. We don't realize it, but we're carrying out the plan of Satan. And many of you might be thinking now that Chad's getting a little off, but this is exactly the truth. I mean, just study the message. This is exactly the truth. This reality is more real than what we see here. There's more going on. When we're sitting here in the dynamics of the service, there's more happening here than you could ever imagine. Amen. Many, many times, anybody who's taken part in the service, the song leader sometimes can pick up on this really easy, and the ministry can. There's a lot of spirits at work when you're in a service. Brother Branham said when the minister is preaching, he's holding the Holy Ghost out over top the people. Amen. How many remember that picture Brother Lonnie used to show all the time? The picture of the congregation sitting out there, and you can see the anointing flowing out over top the people. This is something that's very real. It's happening here this morning. It's happening now. The minister is holding the Holy Ghost out above the people. But we come in, and many times we're overshadowed. And Brother Lonnie showed it with a picture of a shadow. We're overshadowed by an evil spirit, an anointing, something that it is anointing our thinking and has us off track from the Word. And when we come in here with that anointing, then that Holy Ghost that's going out, and Brother Lonnie showed it as shafts of light coming down and hitting some people. There's people who are open, their spirits are open to receive from God, and they pull right down that Holy Ghost that's held out over the people, they pull it right down into their soul. Then there's others come in here overshadowed by an evil spirit, and there's no way for the light to penetrate. Amen. This is true. This is happening this morning. You know, just to share an example from personal experience, I've been in services before where you'll preach something, you'll say something, and all of a sudden, boom, you feel a tug. You feel something, and I'll look over and make eye contact with somebody I know exactly. exactly what just happened. Somebody received something from the Lord right then. And I know it, and I can tell you who it was, and I can tell you what they received. Amen. This supernatural world is real. It's more real than this. If we could just be aware of it. Brother Diggs was preaching the other day, and I come in here busy, tired, worn out, frustrated, everything under the sun. I had the whole list. Everything that you could, the wrong way to come into a service was the way that I came into service. But as he was preaching, I was just praying, Lord, feed me. Lord, I need something from you. And the whole time I was trying to stay tuned in, and I was fighting. I was fighting hard to stay tuned in, and I was working at it, and it's labor. This is not an imaginary thing. This is real. And I'm working, trying to stay in tune with him and what he's saying, and I'm saying, Lord, I need something from you. Lord, I want to be close to you. Lord, help me to hear what he's saying. Stuff like that. I kept praying. And he got to a part where he said, there's 7 redemptive names of Jehovah. Which one do you need? And as soon as he said that, something hit me. And I said, what is it I need? And God spoke to me very real and very personal. And he said, I'm El Shaddai. Because right then I was worn out and I tired and I need to nurse some strength and some life from God. And that changed the whole thing. Now, if I had come into this service like I've done many times before and stayed overshadowed by all that worldly thinking, by all that wisdom, we deal with it every day. We're bombarded with it. It happens to us. We have a, Brother Brim said, we have a sticky, cockleburn nature, and these things stick to us. And I can come in here and I can sit and I can just be thinking about what happened today and who said this and what must I do tomorrow. And if I stay in that realm and I'm not aware of the supernatural that's taking place and I don't consistently and with effort move myself over to that other realm, I would have never got that other night. And that has blessed me since that day, and it's been something I've needed, and it's been strength to me since that service. Amen. What do you have need of today? Amen. I believe with all my heart, if you come into a service with an open heart for God, desperately seeking God and asking for an answer to a question, I believe with all my heart he will answer your question. I don't necessarily think that you need a private interview with the pastor to get your spiritual questions answered. Brother Branham didn't say that the highest form for God to communicate to man was through private counseling with the minister. He said it was through preaching of the word. He said it was Holy Ghost-filled preaching of the word. And if there's a man of God with a true gift of God up here, inspired by the Holy Ghost preaching the word of God, you can have whatever it is you need. Amen. How many times have we heard somebody say, I'm way off my notes now? How many times have you heard that? Now, what's happening? Be aware spiritually of what's happening. There's a pull taking place, and that pull is pulling the minister into a channel, and then he's ministering to a set of needs out there, some circumstances that may be going on, and he's ministering to something specifically, and it had nothing to do with the minister. It had everything to do with you. You and I can sit in the service, and we can have whatever we need. We can have the answer to our problem. How many have come in really seeking God for something and got an answer in service? I mean, it's happened to me many, many times. But wisdom would say, you should get some more information. You should talk to a few more people. You should bounce it off of so-and-so. You know, there's nothing wrong with counsel, and there's a place for it. I'm not laying that aside at all. There is a place for good, godly counsel, and there's a scriptural place for it. But what I am saying is many times all we need is just to tune into the supernatural. While God is speaking, while the Holy Ghost is being held out over the audience, and just tap into what, just pull it down. If you can just envision it that way, the Holy Ghost is being spread out over the congregation and just dust away this shroud of thinking, this wisdom of Satan, and just pull down what you need. Lord, I need some more of you. Lord, I need an answer to this question. Lord, I need to know what I should do about this. Lord, I need help for my children. Lord, I need help in finance. Lord, I need help for my family. Then God's going to speak to his children. Because the highest form, the highest method for God to speak to his children is through the anointed preaching of the word. Amen. So, I think we should go back to healing. That's where we jumped off. See, there's so many dynamics taking place if we could just tune in. God is so real. And that world is so real. And it could be such a benefit and a blessing to us. There's many times I've seen it, I've had it in my own life, and I've seen it with other ministers who come up. They'll come up and they'll just be talking and they'll be trying to get into the Spirit and sharing. And it happens a lot of time with somebody who's new, who's never ministered before us before. There's a bit of a breaking of the ice that's taking place. And he's talking, but all of a sudden, it's like you see him click. He hits the channel and he's gone. Amen. What's happening? That's all happening in the supernatural. Why? Because our human spirits have something new here. And we're judging this new person, this new thing, this new thought, whatever it is. And we're so consumed with what's he all about? And is he going to preach hard? Or is he a teacher? Is he a prof? Is he an evangelist? Is he really excitable? Or is he steady? And we have all these things going on that we're not pulling. We're just thinking. Amen. And once we get comfortable, when our spirits become comfortable with his spirit, then you see it click and you see it move. Amen. That's why it's so essential that we get to church 30 minutes before service. What is that? Is that a hard, fast rule? Are we going to get spanked by the deacons if we don't come? That's, Brother Branham was not talking about rules and regulations when he said to get to church 30 minutes early. He's talking about spiritual awareness. It has everything to do with receiving from the Spirit what you have need of. Because I came in here last Wednesday, and Brother Stephen was doing his second part of that service, which I enjoyed. We had a super busy, packed day, and it was unavoidable. I had no choice. It had to happen. But all the events led up to me running in right before the first song started. Slipped in and sat down. And for two songs during the worship service, I fought so hard to keep my thinking on service. I was thinking about what I had done that day. I was thinking about what I had to do the next day. I was remembering people that I had to call. You know, I can go all day long and forget that I got to call people. But I come and sit in service and all of a sudden I remember, oh, you got to call this person and that person and that. What is anointing my thinking? Is that the Holy Ghost trying to get me to remember I need to call somebody? You know, that's the wrong spirit trying to distract your thinking. Remember, those thoughts don't come out from within us. Those thoughts come to us. So where did that thought come from that I've got to call so-and-so and I got to remember one of the guys got to go on this job and I got an order apart for that machine? That wasn't the Holy Ghost speaking to me. So what do I begin to do? I begin to reject that thinking. Lord, I say, forgive me. My thinking is wrong, Lord. I want to tune into you. Help me, Lord. And I did that, repeated that over and over, and I'd sing, but I would sing and I would stay with it for a line or two. Then after about two lines, my thinking would drift again. Back to, don't forget that. Don't forget you got to do that. And I say, Lord, please. And I would actually, in my mind, I envision it pulling my thought back. My thoughts trailing off. Pull it back to what we're singing about. And I say, Lord, help me. Help me stay focused on this. A few minutes later, did this for two songs. The third song service after I had labored, mentally I had labored for three songs, I was there. Then I could raise my hands and not another thought passed through my mind. I had entered into another realm. I'd become aware of the supernatural and I got into the supernatural and I enjoyed that service so much. It was so good. But you see, these dynamics are taking place even here this morning. And we can be aware of what's happening or we can be blind to them and we can suffer from it or we can benefit from it. Amen. You see what I'm striving at now? There's a spiritual world that's all around us and it's real. And we can benefit from it. We can come in here 30 minutes early, not because we have to, not because somebody said to. That's just godly instruction. There's no law there. That's not conduct, order, and doctrine. We got to line the church up and get everybody in 30 minutes early. It has nothing to do with church order. I mean, it relates to church order, but it's all about receiving from God and getting into the supernatural. Amen. How I would love it. How I would love it if every time I could be well prepared for service. Because every time that I am, I receive so much more than when I come in last minute. What would it be if everybody sitting in here all got in one spirit, one mind, and one accord before the song service? Before the musician struck the first chord. I tell you what, you'd have a happy song leader. Isn't that right, Brother Paul? He knows. He knows exactly when the people aren't there yet. And he knows exactly when it's clicked and we're all pulling in another realm. He knows. He's tapping in. He's operating an office for the church as song leader, and he's operating in a spirit realm. He's singing natural words out of natural lips, but there's a whole lot more to it than the natural. There's something spiritual that's taking place as we worship the Lord, and he knows. And what could happen? Why is it so exciting when we come to family camp? So, I mean, we can't wait. So exciting. The atmosphere is so good. Because everybody comes ready for the atmosphere. They come expecting there to be a good atmosphere. They come expecting, they see the place full, they see it packed up way before service. You got to get there way early if you're going to get a seat because they're going to run out of seats. I mean, that's good motivation for being here early. And you come and you see this and you feel it. When everybody's been here and there's excitement, there's anticipation, we know we're going to hear from God, we're all going to worship God together, and you have that expectation, you have that excitement, then you walk in these doors and you can feel it when you walk in the sanctuary. Amen? Where are you feeling? Are you feeling it with this? Amen? That's the spirit world. You can feel it. So what would happen if every Sunday morning we could get here 30 minutes early and begin to pray in our seats and ask God to move in the service? Do you think that when you walk through that sanctuary door and you can feel that presence, what do you think that does to an unbeliever? What do you think it does to a backslider? Amen? If we can come and be prepared before the service and we can pull out of the musicians, pull out of the song leader, raise our voices together to worship God and change the whole atmosphere in the entire place. What do you think it will do for that lost soul that's on the fence saying, I don't know if I love it. I don't know. They come overshadowed by this evil spirit, by this anointing that's overshadowing them. I'm telling you, you have the power to break that anointing. It's not always in the pulpit. It's not the power is not in the pulpit. The power is in the people. We just have to be aware of it. We've got to come in here and we've got to say, I'm going to make a difference. Brother Branham said, every believer is a little creator. He said, you create an atmosphere about you. He said, that atmosphere people can feel. You create an atmosphere that can change. Amen. You do the same thing in church. What if we all came in here and we created an atmosphere? Amen. Why is it I love camp meetings so much? When you go to some of the camp meetings, they thrill me because what you get, when you're off on your own, you're a little lick of fire. You got this little lick of fire and you're supposed to go out and shine the light of the gospel all around the world, and you are. I'm taking my little lick of fire here and there and everywhere. But it's so much fun when all the licks of fire come together. Boy, you can feel a difference. Licks of fire all gather together. And pretty soon we got a bonfire and we're all being warmed by it. And it's amazing what happens. But see, you can make that atmosphere here to when the songs leader comes up, it's the first song and the anointing's here. Amen. Remember, the Holy Spirit is a dove. He's not pushing. The minister, that's why it never works when the congregation is not tuned in. It never works for the ministry. It never works for the song leader. It never works for the musicians. I've been there before. The service that I like to preach the least when I'm overseas is the after lunch service. Often if they have a 1 o'clock or a 1:30 service, I will do anything in my power to get somebody else to take that service. Because why, Brother Lonnie? They're asleep. They're asleep. And when you've got several of the congregation sleeping, the other ones are drowsy, there's not any strong pulling, you cannot preach. You may have the best notes in the world. You may have a thought that God so anointed and inspired and just pushed into you, and you're just ready to go. And you get there, if there's no pull from the people, you can't do anything. You labor and you struggle, and it's like running through knee-deep mud. You can't get anywhere. But there's been times, I remember one time I was in Malawi. Rap and I were together, and we had taken a 7-hour boat ride back from Lacoma Island back to the island, and we were sick. Oh, we were bad sick. Felt horrible. Started at 4 in the morning. Got back. Then we had drove for a long time, and then we were going to go up on this mountain to preach at this little church. Well, on the way up, the truck gets stuck in a ditch. The bridge breaks, boom. Front tires go into this really deep ditch, and we're stuck. So we had to walk like a mile up a mountain to preach this service, and we walked down. Now, we've been up since 4 in the morning. We had a 7-hour exhausting boat ride on a very choppy, bumpy boat. And then We drive up, we have to walk up, we walk back down, and now it's starting to get dark and we're driving and I'm thinking we're going back to the hotel and I'm going to lay down. I'm exhausted. I'm beat. I'm finished. So we're driving along and we get near the city and all of a sudden Brother Paddington stops really fast. I was like, what's he doing? He said, okay, Brother Chad, you get out here and go with these brothers and Rap, you stay with me. I looked at Rap and said, what are we doing? And Rap said, I don't know. And I said, Brother Paddington, what are we doing? He said, preaching, brother, you're preaching. And so here I am exhausted, absolutely wore out, and I have not one thought. I don't have a single thought. I have no idea. It was almost like your mind goes blank. I can't even think of anything to preach. I could even remember a scripture. So we drive over there, and on the way over, I asked Brother Fury, Alfred Peary, who was my interpreter, I said, Brother, pray for me. I'm tired. So he prayed for me, and later he told me, he said, I was worried, brother. He said, you look bad. So we get in there, but I found out later that the congregation had been waiting about 2 hours for us to get there. We were very late, and they had been singing the whole time. Now, do you think that congregation might have been ready? I bet they all broke through the busyness of the day. I thought they had all got past their little conflicts that happened on the way to church, their children being disobedient, the work, the driving, the bad traffic, the potholes. They had gotten past all of that, and they were in a spirit of worship. And I showed up there without one thought, exhausted, thinking, and I was praying. I was desperate. I said, God, I have nothing. God, you have to. You absolutely have to help. And I can tell you to this date, that's probably one of the favorite services I've ever ministered in my life. I got to the back room and they were out there singing and worshiping, and all of a sudden just notes come together from nowhere. I was just writing stuff down. And the brother came back, he said, are you ready? I said, sing one more song. I'm writing. And I get up there and the people are pooling and it's just coming out, and I never even thought of these things before, and they're wonderful, and I'm being edified the same as they're being edified. And it's hard to imagine unless you've ever been there, but it's absolutely possible. In your natural mind, you can be thinking, wow, wow. And your words are saying stuff. I mean, you're saying all kinds of good things and you're thinking, wow, wow. And they're pulling so hard. And typically, and that was really early in my ministry too, and I always preached just like this, right here, behind the pulpit. I was afraid to get outside of it. And they're preaching so hard, they're pulling me over top the pulpit, and I'm standing on my tiptoes, waving my arms around. Amen. Totally unnatural for me in the flesh. But that's what can happen when you get into that spirit realm. These are the possibilities if we'll just be aware of what's happening, the dynamics of the service, the potential for us to tap into that realm and get something we need to live this natural life. If we'll just be awakened to the reality of the Holy Ghost and the natural world, we can benefit from it, but can also harm us if we're not aware. You know, Brother Ram talked so many times about lingering spirits and things going on. I just want to touch into this just for a minute and then we'll wrap up. But he would go into an auditorium and he would say, you know, usually the first night's really difficult. You're contending with spirits. He said they have boxing matches and wrestling matches and this. He said, I really prefer to preach in a church. How many's heard him say that? And he says those spirits are in here and they linger. Amen. Lingering spirits. See, he was very aware of what's happening in the supernatural. I remember Perry Green told a story one time. Brother Brandon went to a hotel and he got him a hotel, and Brother Perry, he went in the room and he come out and he asked Brother Perry, can you get me another room? And Brother Perry thought he was just a little picky, is what he thought. So he took him down and got him another room. And when he got him that room, he said, thank you, Brother Perry. He said, somebody committed adultery in that room last night and I just couldn't stay there. Amen. There was a spirit still lingering there. I tell another story. I think it was Brother Perry Green that told this. I may be wrong, but he said that this couple came to Brother Random and said, you know, we had thoughts all last night. We kept having this thought that you're God. That you're God. And they said, are you God? And Brother Random said, no, I'm not God. And he said, why was it? It was so strong. And he said, because before you were in that room that night, there was another couple staying there that believed that, and that spirit was lingering. See, these things can destroy us if we're not aware of what's happening. There's one quote here I want to read that Brother Ram talks about that. He says, I don't want to take the time to read it. I'll just paraphrase it because I got 10 pages I don't want to shuffle through. But he says, there's some people that were thinking that I was Jesus Christ. And he said, I was on to him for it until God showed me that it was just a spirit. See, Brother Branham was getting upset. He was getting upset with these people. And he said, so I went to them and I began to explain to them the word. And they said, he said, don't you believe me? Why don't you believe what I'm telling you? And finally, after giving them the word, he broke through that spirit. And they said, how could we do that, Brother Branham? And he says, it's so easy to pick up a wrong spirit. He said, you could pick it up and not even know it. And he said, you would believe it and nobody could tell you any different. You could believe that. You could believe a wrong spirit and nobody could persuade you any differently. How then do we avoid this? Amen? What do we do to avoid this? And Brother Branham said the answer is stay with the word. You must stay with the word always, regardless of what people say, regardless of what people think. If you get off that word in the slightest, he said, that's an evil spirit anointing you. Amen. He said, one thing, it is your life worthy. That's one thing to know that you're a Christian when you can fully agree upon every word of God. Amen. If there's parts that you're struggling with, if there's parts that you're saying, I just don't know, I just don't know, that I just don't know, that struggling is not the Holy Ghost working in your life. That's another spirit trying to keep you from what God has from you. If there's confusion, if there's fear, if there's doubt, those are not attributes of God. God is not a confuser. He does not confuse people. God is not the author of confusion, the scripture says. Amen. God is not a doubter. He does not cause you to doubt. God is not fear. There is no fear in God. So if you're having fear, if you're having confusion, you know right there there's an evil spirit trying to steer you the wrong way. Amen. Amen. Whenever I have to go to make a decision sometimes and fear comes in, fear of what people will think or fear of losing an opportunity or fear of whatever, I know right there where I should go. I go opposite what that fear is telling me. Amen. So many times, you know, if I don't go do this, then they'll think this. And fear, I mean, when a real legitimate fear, not a concern for what somebody's thinking, but fear comes in, I know right away that's an evil spirit. Right? It's simple. We have to just stay with the scriptures. He said there's many false spirits out there. In Christianity versus Idolatry, 1961, he says, that's right, you've got to know the word. How can we know the word? He said, the word comes by inspiration, and God sends a prophet to tell the mind of God, to give the interpretation of the word. And I don't know how in this last day that we can know the word of God in its true intent and its true form without a prophetic message. You have to be into the message, into the word, and into the scriptures. They couple together hand in hand. If you say, I just want to take the scriptures, but I don't want to look at the message, you'll never find it. Because God sent down a method for you to know his mind on the word, and that was through a prophet. And if you don't have that prophetic inspired preaching, explaining to you what God is doing with his scriptures, then you'll get it misplaced every which way. There's no way for us to do it in ourselves. Because when we try to do it, we'll use the wisdom of man to try to piece the thing together, and we always come up with the wrong picture every time. But he said, you must know the word, and you must stay on the word. See, the great battle is at hand. Now, we've played church for years and years, but the hour has come now that when Jambres and Jannes will withstand Moses as the Bible said they would. And it's going to be a spiritual battle. I mean, the real true believer is coming to that battlefield, and you better be versed and know what you're doing, or you could take an evil spirit so easy and not know it. If it's contrary to the word, don't believe it. Stay with that word always. Amen. You see, these spirits come, and sometimes they come through other believers. Just because you're filled with the Holy Ghost does not mean you cannot be anointed by a wrong evil spirit. That's not true. Brother Branham said that sometimes that Holy Ghost will just take its flight. He won't leave you altogether, but he'll go sit on a limb waiting for you to get this thing right, then he'll come right back. But there's a born-again believers can be deceived just like anybody else. The difference is born-again believers don't stay deceived. Amen. God brings them back in line. They can be corrected by the word. Amen. So there's other believers that can come, and they get anointed by these spirits. And if there's any dissension or dissimulation or strife, that's an evil spirit. If anybody comes to you speaking evil of another believer, unless their intention is, let's go talk to them and see if we can win them back. If that's not their intention, if their intention is only to talk, you are being anointed by an evil spirit. And they may be using the lips of your brother or sister, but that is an evil spirit. Brother Branham said, and I wrote it down here because it was so good. He said, and I'm in the message, I can't remember what message it was. He said, that's what it is. He said, it's never your brother or your sister. He went around his church and he was having problems. There was a little squabbling. There was little problems around the church. And he said, now I've been around all your homes and we've straightened up all these little fusses. And he says, that's never your brother or your sister. You've got to hold this in your mind and understand the supernatural. He said, it's always the devil that gets in between. He says, you should feel sorry for your brother and sister. And there's all kinds of little fusses that take place in the church and little misunderstandings and disagreements and hurt feelings. It's never your brother or sister. If somebody comes to you and speaks to you and hurts your feelings or says something wrong about you or gossips about you, it's not your brother or sister. You have to recognize what's happening in the spiritual world. They were just overshadowed by a wrong spirit and they listened to the wrong thought and said the wrong word. That does not make them an unbeliever now. Are not your brother or sister. It's the devil getting in between to cause a dissension, a dissimulation, a separation. And that's the way the evil spirit always works. Brother Branham said, he was preaching in a message. He said, now you're all one tight-knit group here today in love with one another. He said, but Satan won't let it stay that way. Amen. Even if he's got to bring an outsider in and shoot him full of poison to try to poison the church, he said, he'll do it. He said, but don't you take sides. He said, you just bundle that much closer together and love that individual he's using, and he'll either leave the church or he'll be won to Christ. Amen. We're not fighting natural battles. We war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places. Do we believe that? We've got to stop fighting so much in the natural. I know so many times I've heard so many believers talk about this situation is going on at work and I'm going to storm in there and I'm going to call this employment agency and I'm going to get my lawyer to talk to them. Why? Why? It's just an evil spirit coming against you. It's anointing another vessel to bring a persecution and pressure on you so that you'll make the wrong choice. You know how fast these spirits work? Just as soon as somebody says something to me that I don't like, there's an anointing right there. I don't understand how the spirit world works. I don't understand how God can divide himself into seven spirits, but they're all one God. I don't know how all this works, but I can see the manifestation of it. As soon as somebody hurts my feelings, I've got an anointed thought that is not the Holy Spirit, and it's fast. You know, Brother Branham said that dimension moves faster than this one. He's right. It's hyperspeed. And right then and there, I've got to be so careful. How many times did that thought come and I spoke something and as soon as the words were out of my mouth, I said, oh, I shouldn't have. You know, we got to be aware all the time. If we close our eyes and close our mind to what's happening all about us, then we're going to constantly be saying the wrong thing, doing the wrong thing, and we're going to be sowing bad seed and we're going to reap a bad harvest. But if we'll just be aware of what's happening and shut it down. I mean, that's why we have to be so careful what we listen to, where we go, who we fellowship with, because there's all these spirits. The scripture says, have no part with an angry man unless you learn his ways. Because just with fellowship with that, he's under a spiritual anointing, a cloud that is rubbing on you all the time. Don't forget you have a sticky, calcobur nature. You never got so much of God that you're not being influenced by unbelievers. You're being influenced all the time, and you can be influenced into a wrong decision. All it takes is enough time in that anointing. You spend enough time there, and all of a sudden, you're going to fall by it. That's why it's dangerous to play with videos and video games and movie theaters and all these other entertainments of the world. It's so dangerous because these are enticing spirits. And if you spend enough time under them, they're going to influence you. I don't care what you say. I don't care how strong you believe you are. The more time you spend dabbling with those things, the more time that Spirit has to anoint your thinking, and you're going to slip up. You're going to fall that way. Brother Brim said, I believe in inspiration. Everything comes by inspiration. Art is inspired and music is inspired. And you have to realize that the artists who make the songs, the images, act out the parts in the plays, they're all anointed. They cannot do that without inspiration. You cannot write a script. It's impossible to write a script to a play or to a movie without some sort of inspiration. You have to be inspired to do that. Every artist and musician knows they have to be inspired. There's many times when there's no inspiration, they're dry, they can't come up with anything. But when inspiration strikes, they could write a song in 10 minutes. Under the inspiration. You have to realize there's a Holy Ghost inspiration, but there's also a satanic inspiration. So if that artist can't do anything, I just can't write a song, it's been 6 months, nothing's come to me. And all of a sudden an anointing comes and they write a song, and it's a rock and roll song or a country western song. Where did that anointing come from? They were not able to write it. Then all of a sudden, under the right atmosphere, they could write it. Where did that come from? Was it the Holy Ghost? How many spirits are there working right now? Two. If it wasn't the Holy Ghost, where was it coming from? Okay, so that's fine for the artist. They made it and they made some money and they put it out. But what happens to you when you relax yourself under that music? When you relax your spirit, because we know that's what music does. Many times music will relax your spirit. Brother Branham said there's healing in music. The music has a certain power to it. And so you relax yourself under this music and you open yourself to the same spirit that anointed it is the same spirit that begins to anoint you. And don't think that I'm just being fanatical. It's absolutely the truth. Same thing with videos. When people are making, you know, these forms of worldly entertainment, and it's so funny, and it's so this, and it's so that, what anointed it? I mean, there's good videos out there. There's some Christian producers that are actually producing some decent stuff that you can watch, but there's also some Christian producers, or so-called Christians, that are producing garbage. Because you have to be anointed by a spirit, and just because it's labeled Christian does not mean it's Christian. You know, many times if you peel that Christian label off, you can see pop culture right under it. And all it is popular culture, and they stitch Christianity over it to sell it and make more money. Because the Christian bookstore market is a huge market. But a lot of times what you're feeding on is the exact same anointing that Beverly Hills feeds off of. No different. They can't write the script. They can't act it out. They can't write the music without an anointing. They cannot produce that video without some sort of anointing. So when you grab that video, a lot of times you can look at the case and you can determine what anointing is in that video. Because the same spirit had to anoint the cover, the slip cover. So there's many times we're feeding on stuff, and what happens is you relax yourself. When you go to watch a video, especially if there's some humor in it and you laugh, you put down the guard and you relax yourself. And right then you're being anointed. Anointed. The same anointing that inspired the production of it is the same anointing that's inspiring you. You're just feeding on anointing. That's why Brother Branham said, I see God in art. When God inspires the artist, I see God there. I see God in music. When God inspires the musician, it inspires me. Because when a Holy Ghost-filled believer writes a song under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, then you come into church and you relax yourself and you listen to that song, you receive the same spirit that anointed that singing. See, it works both ways. It works for the good and it works for the evil. So we want to tap into this good all the time. We're wanting to go to church. We want to hear good music. We want to do all these things. And we want the benefit of the good, but we don't realize the negative of the bag. We don't pay attention to the flip side of the coin. Amen. But there's two spirits. Only two. There's only two. There's not a good and a bad and a neutral somewhere in the middle that's a blend of the two and you could be neutral. You can't be neutral. There's only two. So the whole time when we live this life, we're constantly processing all these messages, all these thoughts, and saying, where does it come from? That's the question I want to be more aware of than ever before. Where is this thought coming from? What is anointing me? Amen. Because there's an anointing that's here for the bride. And I'll just wrap up with this thought, something for us to take home, but there is an anointing here to get us through this age. And we can have it. We can benefit from it. We can be anointed by it. There's a Holy Ghost that's here to make a difference in our lives. But we have to open ourselves to it. We have to surrender to it. We can't stay closed up in our spirits like this and half wanting to be with the Lord. We can't be a little bit reserved and still wanting to serve God. It doesn't work that way. If you want to be possessed by the Holy Ghost, you have to open yourself to it. I want to read this quote in the fifth seal. The martyrs down through the ages, they have suffered terribly. But what was they? They were under the inspiration. The Spirit of God, the power. They had a power, an anointing under the ox age. We know that through the seven church ages, there was four anointings that were given out. The lion, the ox, the man, and the eagle. And these anointings were basically, they were the Holy Ghost in a certain measure or a certain way to anoint the people for a certain thing that God wanted them to accomplish. In the ox age, an ox was a beast of burden and it was also a sacrificial animal. And these were the days of the martyrs. And God was actually anointing them to give up their life. They were under anointing. I remember the story of Thomas Bilney. Thomas Bilney was living back under this persecution in England, I believe it was. And he had been arrested and he was told that he was going to be killed if he didn't recant. And the first time he let down and he gave up on God and they let him go. And it so discouraged him that he went into prayer and depression, but eventually he got back and he served God again and began to preach and he said, never again. And that anointing of the ox came upon him in that day. And he began to blast that church system that was persecuting them. He began to stand up for the things that were right. And it come about again. Recant or die. He said, I'll die. He had gotten to the right anointing and to the right atmosphere. The first time, he'd gotten the wrong atmosphere because friends were telling him, it's better for you to live in priest than die and never be able to preach again. And all his Christian friends were anointing him with the wrong spirit because they loved him and their human emotion was not according to God's plan. They were picking up a spirit and they were spilling it out to him, telling him, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Same thing that happened to Peter. Peter comes up to Jesus. Jesus says, I must die, I must leave, I must go to Jerusalem and be killed. And Peter says, far be it from me. They're not going to do that to you. You're not going to die. And what did Jesus say? Peter, that's a nice thought. Peter, I know you just love me. I know that's your human emotion. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. What anointed that thought? It was his human love that was acting up. But your human emotions are anointed by evil spirits. His human love said, I don't want you to die. I'll fight for you. And he said, that is Satan speaking. Peter became the mouthpiece for Satan there temporarily. Amen. So Thomas Bilney gets into the right channel and to the right spirit. And under that right spirit, he says, I'll gladly burn for him. The punishment was burning at the stake. And a friend came over and a friend was trying to persuade him not to die. Don't give up your life. Don't waste your life. Don't throw it away. And Thomas Bilney pulled a candle over to him and he stuck his finger in that candle and burnt it to the bone. And he never flinched. He said to burn for any other reason but Christ would hurt. But to burn for Christ, there'll be no pain. He had gotten an anointing. There was something happening in his spirit that was supernatural. Then they came the next day to lead him to the stake to be burned. And as he approached the stake, he could see it there with the piles of wood gathered around it, ready to be burned. And he shook off those that were leading him, and he ran up, and he threw his arms around and embraced that pillar. And they burned him there, never having to tie him up. I'm telling you, that was a spiritual anointing. No human can go through that kind of suffering. No human can make those kind of choices unless he is inspired to do so. I'm telling you, this inspiration is so powerful, we don't give enough credit to it. But if we tap into it, we have the power to overcome in this age. Let's read on. And don't forget this, church, and you brethren on tape. I want you to examine this. How could a man do anything else besides the power of God that had been released to them? How could they? They couldn't act the way they did in the man age. They couldn't be bold as the lion in the lion age. They were in the ox age. That church could not react any other way than to live a sacrificial life for Christ. I'm going, he says, if God sends a certain spirit among them, that's the only thing that they can work by is the spirit that works among them. Now we'll prove to you by the history of the church and by the opening of the seals and the powers that let loose, and watch exactly the church responding to the anointing, and they couldn't do anything else. Later on he says, notice, now the fourth beast, what age are we in? What beast is anointing today? The fourth beast, the eagle beast. We can do nothing other than what the eagle's anointing to do. We can't operate in man age. We can't operate in ox age. We can't operate under the lion anointing. We must operate under the eagle anointing. Notice now the fourth beast that was set forth to combat the Antichrist, and this last beast, are you ready? The last beast that was sent forth, or the last power to combat the Antichrist, was the eagle. The fourth living beast was an eagle. Now you just study the ages, study the scriptures, it's an eagle. And in the Bible, the last age was an eagle age, and God likens his prophets to the eagles. He says, why? He's a revealer of the truth. A revealer of the truth that's been fallen all through the ages. So how in the world could the ox or the man or whatever beast was riding, how could it ever be revealed until the eagles come? All these truths that lay in the Bible on water baptism, on receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, on healing and all these other wonderful scriptures that we believe on the true nature of God and the oneness of the Godhead. It couldn't be revealed back then because they didn't have the anointing to receive it back then. They were under lion, ox, man, but under eagle because the eagle spirit can fly high into the heavenlies and see far off and has acute vision. And it's that eagle anointing that's anointing this age and anointing the believers of this age so that we can fly high and see clearly the scriptures. It wasn't for the ox age. They were to live a sacrificial life. It wasn't for the man age. They were to begin to reason and print the Bible and distribute the Bibles. This age is the age that we're called to live in, and there's an anointing for it. Let's read on. How could it ever be revealed into the eagle's age? They had their place. They were godly sent beasts just the same as anybody else was. The lion, that was the original. There's where the Antichrist came up in combat. Then he raised up another power. He sent another power to meet it. Then he raised up another power, and he sent another power to meet it. And then at the last power, he brings down the eagle to restore the children back to the original faith of the fathers. That's what the eagle ministry does. That's what the eagle anointing does. And if there's a spirit anointing you anywhere else but to the original faith of the apostolic fathers and the book of Acts being made manifest, that's not the age that God intended for this age. Amen. Then did you notice there's no more beast? That's all of it. That's the end. Amen. Where are we? We're at the end. Time is wrapping up. Time will be no more. All around us, things are chaos and destruction. Everything that we've known all my life, it's not been long, but everything I've known to be normal is becoming abnormal. Things are changing, and they're changing rapidly. But there's an anointing out there. The eagle is flying and can fly in your lives. That Holy Ghost anointing to give you the revelation on the Word to make you see clearly what's going on, it's available. If we're still sitting here tonight and we're clouded somehow in our mind and we're doubting the message and we don't understand, did God send a prophet? Didn't he send a prophet? Is divine healing true? What's the right way to be baptized? There's an anointing available to clear up all the confusion. You can tap into that and receive everything God has for you. He can right all the wrongs. He can clear the confusion. He can disperse all the doubt. If you'll just tap into that, just surrender yourself to the Holy Ghost. And the way that he's manifesting himself in this age through an eagle anointing. And you shall receive the benefits of an eagle anointing. Amen. Why the ox suffered through everything that happened to them. The eagle flies above. In the ox age, they were tortured, they were beaten, they were abused. He has suffered. He had the anointing to suffer. But brothers and sisters, our anointing is not to suffer in this age. Our anointing is to rise above. And to see clearly what God is doing. Amen. So let us tap into that spirit and rise high on the wings of an eagle. Amen. Let's all stand. Musicians, if you'd come. There's one last thought I want to leave you as we stand. One last thing I want to read. In the message, Only Believe, 1961. He's talking about when Jesus crossed Galilee and he came to the madman that was in the tombs. He said that madman was many times bound with chains and he would burst the chains. This madman that was anointed by Legion, the devils, remember? And God sent them, or Christ sent them out into the swine. And then once they were gone, the man was in his right mind, sitting and eating with the Lord and fellowshipping. But he was totally out of his mind under that anointing because he was completely possessed by devils. And under that possession, he would strip naked and he would run through the streets and run through the tombs. And if they chain him up, he'd break the chains. And he had everybody in terror because he was possessed of an evil spirit. And then Brother Branham shares a story of his own. He says, remember down in Florida one night, a man that wouldn't have weighed over 120 pounds whipped 5 policemen, just as easy as you'd whip your child. And then when that evil spirit went off of him, why, there was nothing hardly. He was just as meek as he could be, but it was an evil spirit. Now here's the thought I want us all to catch. And I thought, if a man possessed with an evil spirit could break chains, what could he do if he was completely surrendered to God? Amen. We've all heard stories of people who were possessed by devils, who would fight off, you know, 5, 6, 7 men, break chains, have the strength and power, many times their own weight and their own strength. What was it? It was possession of an evil spirit that was possessing the vessel, and it was acting out through this vessel. And it had supernatural strength because it was a supernatural possession. Amen. What can we do for God if we'll allow the Holy Ghost to possess our lives? Amen. Brother Branham says, if a man possessed with an evil spirit could break chains, what could he do if he was completely surrendered to God with the power of God possessing him like that? I mean, what you were seeing in the madman's life was the power of the devil being made manifest in his life. And the power of the devil could break chains, could scare people, could destroy lives. Was stronger than 5 men. I want the power of the Holy Ghost. I want that eagle anointing. I want to be fully possessed of it. He said, what could happen? He said, it would straighten every crippled leg. It would do great things. If he could just be so anointed with God's power, the devil could completely get a hold of him. Amen. That's what I want. I want to be so aware of the supernatural. I want to know what's here, it's present, and I want to tap into it. Because I want to be so possessed of God that straight crippled legs would be straightened. That those around me would sense a presence and ask me about the Lord. How many times has that happened to you? Somebody just asked you a question. You didn't tell them you were a Christian. You didn't say anything. They just asked you a question about the Lord, or they made a comment about going to church. It's that atmosphere. I want to be so full of that Holy Ghost that I can touch every life around me. I want to be so full of when I sit down next to somebody, when I'm waiting at a doctor's office, or if I'm somewhere at a public place, I want them to sense something going on. I want their spirit to sense something in my spirit. You know, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We have nothing to be afraid of. Amen. No demon power, no resistance can harm us. So many times we go to witness to somebody and we feel, they don't say anything, we feel resentment. And many times I've backed down. I said, well, maybe they're not interested. No, what I was feeling had nothing to do with that other individual. Everything I was feeling was that demon spirit that was anointing them, that was overshadowing their life, and that was coming against me because I was coming with the Holy Ghost. And it was fighting me off. And if I would just stay still and in gentleness and in meekness keep expressing love by the Holy Ghost, it'll break that power of the enemy. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We don't have to be afraid of that demon. When you go to say something, wow, you feel the attack. And you feel it. There's not words many times. You just feel the deep resentment and the hatred. You need to separate that individual from the spiritual anointing. You need to, when you feel the attack, don't get offended at that individual. Don't be offended at that person. It's not their fault. There is a spirit overshadowing, and you're being attacked by that spirit. Even if this person says the wrong thing, they're anointed by the wrong spirit. Amen? How can you know if you're anointed by the wrong spirit? When you get into witnessing, if you go to share something about the Lord and somebody resists what you're saying or says you're kooky, you're crazy, and you get mad, that's a religious spirit. Or if you're debating with somebody about the scriptures and they don't see eye to eye, and all of a sudden you feel anger rise up, you better stop talking. Because you're being anointed by the wrong spirit that is not the Holy Ghost. But when you can separate the person from the anointing, And you can still love that person and feel sorry for them, knowing that one day you were under an anointing too that confused and clouded your mind. And God lifted that anointing so that I could understand and receive the eagle anointing. Then you could look at that person and say, oh, I can help them. If your motive is genuine love, that if they could only see the truth, they'd be so happy. If they could just know what I have to give them, it would give them such joy and peace. Then you just keep on talking. Keep on talking, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You'll break through that spirit. But don't be afraid. Never be afraid. Brother Graham said that there's enough power in you to create other worlds and go live on them. We just have to learn and be aware of what's happening in the supernatural and not let it shut us down or scare us or cause us to back down. But if we can operate in love through the anointing of the Holy Ghost, we can go anywhere and do anything. Because we have the power, we create the atmosphere to make a change. Amen. And what this world needs is some people who are not following the Pied Piper to hell. They need a handful of people who know who they are, to know where they stand, who are anointed by the full power and possession of the Holy Ghost and can reach out and change their environment. Can stay with somebody long enough and say the right words long enough in love to dispel that cloud that's overshadowing them so the light of the gospel can penetrate the soul. You have that power. It's inside of you. If you're born again and full of the Holy Ghost, you have the power to make a difference. Amen. Let's learn to tap into it, to rely on it, to trust in it, and just be aware of it. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you so much for your encouragement, Lord. God, you are everything to us. God, I pray if there's any wicked thing that's in me or any anointing that I've listened to or I've allowed to have voice in my mind, I pray, Lord, that you help me to resist that thing. Help me to only accept your truth and only accept your love. God, I open myself to you now. I want to receive your Holy Ghost in full possession. Take me, Lord. Use me any way you wish. I yield myself unto you. I pray that you break down every evil thing that's ever influenced me or would. And Lord, let the gospel light shine through my life. God, I give myself to you. I yield to your Spirit. Lord, I ask you to use this vessel for your glory. Anoint me with that eagle anointing for this eagle age. Help me to fly high and see clearly. Help me to discern from the right and the wrong. Help me to make choices. Help me to be a benefit and a blessing to all those around me. Let my atmosphere be strong. Let the atmosphere of the Holy Ghost shine all forth around me. Let my light shine in this world, Lord. God, I ask that you would just take anyone in here who's been overshadowed by an evil spirit, who's had doubt or fear or confusion, and I pray that you dispel that now under the power of the Holy Ghost. By the anointed preaching of the Holy Ghost, that you would break that demon power now, and that the Holy Ghost, the light of the word, can penetrate through that heart and make a difference in somebody's life here today, Lord. God, I ask that your power be made manifest in each and every one of us, that we could break the yokes of bondage of the Satan in our lives and the lives of our family and those around us. Lord, we just trust in you. We love you. We yield ourselves to you. I pray now, Lord, if there's a backslider in this place that's been hearing the wrong voice, that's been anointed by the wrong spirit, and they've reserved themselves from you, they've held back from your Holy Ghost, I pray now under the inspired preaching of the Holy Ghost gospel that you would break that power, that you would destroy that evil spirit, that you would cause it to flee from this place, that under this anointing, this atmosphere, they can reach out and surrender their lives to you and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost afresh again in their lives. I ask it, Lord. I ask that you do what only you can do. We yield ourselves to you, Lord. We allow ourselves to be instruments of change for your glory. I pray that you send us where you want us to go and you use us how you want to use us. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Brother Paul, if you could come on up. God bless you.
Amen. Good word. You know, Paul told the Corinthian church that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought subject to Christ. So if the battle that we're fighting, Brother Branham says the greatest battle ever fought was in the mind. So you're going to, but Satan doesn't, the battle doesn't just stay in the mind. Satan fights you on the mind level so that you can manifest it in another area. If you lose the battle in the mind, you'll lose it on the next front too. Let's just be extreme in our thinking. If you're being tempted with adultery and you lose that battle in the mind, you'll lose it in the flesh. So we've got to bring every thought subject to Christ. That's where you talk about trying every spirit. Your thoughts are being anointed, and there's only two forces. So your thoughts are being anointed either by Christ or by Satan. So if he wants us to try to manifest our thought life and let our thought life come out into a manifestation, he'll get us to start confessing something that's wrong. And if you start confessing, if those thought processes, oh, I'm not healed, oh, the symptoms are here, and the thought processes are there, it's one thing to have a thought process, but if he can get you to confess it, oh, I lost my healing, or I didn't get healed, then he has a grip. Oh, the power of the tongue, saints. If he can get us to confess those negative things, but on the contrary, we have a high priest who intercedes upon our confession. So if we can confess I'm healed regardless of what the symptoms are saying, or I'm delivered from that spirit of whatever, if we'll just start confessing regardless of what our life is going through, we're bringing our life subject to the Word, then we have power. What a place we stand in Christ, and how we can empower Christ in our lives by our words and by our actions and bringing our thoughts subject to Christ. I want to win every battle in the thought process so that it doesn't have a chance to manifest itself through my life. Amen. Let's just sing Set My Spirit Free. You're dismissed as we sing this.
Set my spirit free, I might worship Thee. Set my spirit free, that I might praise Thy name. Set my spirit free.
Bless you, saints.